Today's daf is Sukkah daf Chav Zayin. We left off in daf Chav Vav Amid Beis. We're at the Mishnah on Chav Vav Amid Beis. We're going to discuss, the Mishnah is going to talk about eating small amounts of food outside of the Sukkah, what the geder is when a person has to eat in the Sukkah. We're going to talk about being poris, being notel b'mapa, taking bread with a cloth, and whether that, why one would do that, what would motivate one to do that, whether one has to do that. Then the Mishnah on Chav Zayin Amid Aleph is going to have a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. How many su'udos does a person have to eat in the sukkah over the course of Yom Tov, whether it has to be 14 sudos dafka or however many you happen to eat? You just have to eat all of those in the sukkah. And we're going to point out that machlokas is really machlokas about the geder of teshvu kein toduru, of exactly how we define that concept of teshvu kein toduru. And the Gemara is going to talk about why the first night of sukkahs may be different than all of the other days of sukkahs when it comes to the chiyuv to eat in the sukkah. The Mishnah also mentions the idea of being mashlim for a missed su'uda on Leil Yom Tov Ha'achron Shel Chag. And the Gemara is going to get into some of the details of that halacha in terms of how one would do such a tashlumin. Then the Gemara tells a story that the Apotropos of Agrippus HaMelech asked Rabbi Elazar two questions on his opinion in our Mishnah. And the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to talk about building a sukkah on Chol HaMoed, whether that is ever okay, whether one could build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. And the Gemara is going to also discuss whether the sukkah needs to be lachem, just like the lulav, the dalet minim, need to be yours. Does your sukkah also need to be yours? What if your sukkah is stolen? What if your sukkah is borrowed? And then we get into Kabbalah's Pnei Rabba Beregel, the din that a person has to go visit his Rebbe on Yom Tov. And then the daf ends with the story where Rabbi Elazar was asking questions about spreading a cloth on a sukkah to protect from the sun, and for whatever reason his Rebbe was evading the question. So it was Rabbi Yochanan asking the questions, and Rabbi Elazar was evading the questions. So Be'ez Hashem, we'll get to that at the end of the shir. So let's see the Mishnah on Chav Vav Amid Beis. Ma'isa v'yavilo l'Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai litom es hatavshil. They brought Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai a little bit of a cooked food to eat to Rabbi Gamliel, and to Rabbi Gamliel shnei kosvos udzli shalmayim. And to Rabbi Gamliel they brought two fruits and a pitcher of water. Va'amru, and they said, both of these rabbanim said, helum sukkah, we need to bring them into the sukkah. We have to eat these things in the sukkah. Now keep in mind, this Mishnah is not coming out of nowhere. This is built. This is a seems to be a continuation of the previous Mishnah. The last line of the previous Mishnah said, "Ochlin b'shosin arai chutz l'sukkah." That was on Chafei Amidal. That we're allowed to eat small amounts of food. We're allowed to have an achila sarai outside of the sukkah. That's okay. We don't have to bring it into the sukkah. And yet this Mishnah begins, and that's going to be the Gemara's first point. This Mishnah begins with the story of two great Tanaim who, when they were presented with an achila sarai, when they were presented with small amounts of food, right away they said, "Helum l'sukkah, bring them into the sukkah. We need to eat them in the sukkah." Ukshnasan Rabbi Tzaddik ochel pachos mika beitza, and when they gave Rabbi Tzaddik a small amount of food, less than a kibetza, natlo b'mapa. First of all, he was notel b'mapa. He did not do netilas yadayim. Rather, he just wrapped the food in a cloth and va'achlo chutz l'sukkah. Not only that, he ate it outside of the sukkah. And v'lo birech acharav, he didn't say birchas hamazon, he didn't bench. So three different things that Rabbi Tzaddik did that was interesting lahalacha. Number one, that he didn't wash on the food, instead he was notel b'mapa. Number two, he ate this food outside of the sukkah. And number three, he did not bench. So Rashi explains, notel b'mapa, lo notel yadav ela karach b'mapa yadav. Instead of washing his hands, he wrapped his hands in a cloth, mishum nekius, for cleanliness, de kasavar, pachos mikabeta lobayin, Netilas Yadayim, because he holds that less than a kibetza doesn't require Netilas Yadayim. So even the wrapping the hands is just stam nekius, it sounds like, according to Rashi. Even that wasn't necessary. There's simply no chiyuv of Netilas Yadayim. V'lo bayi sukkah, and not only that, pachos mikibetza does not require a sukkah, and that's why he ate it outside of the sukkah. V'lo bayi birchas hamazon li'achrav, and it also doesn't require benching. D'darish kreb yudah v'yachalta v'svato v'rachta achila sheyesh l'sviya, because he holds like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that when is one chayiv in benching? Only visavata, if a person ate enough to satiate themselves, v'hainu kibetza, and that's a shear of a kibetza, but less than that is going to be, there's not going to be a chayiv in benching. Avlefanav bekolduhu bayu bracha, sharinenev asalam smilam azablo bracha. But clearly he made a bracha rishona. The whole question was whether he said a bracha acharona, but a bracha rishona, obviously he had to say that even if you have a mashu, you have to say a bracha rishona. Bracha rishona, the Gemara is a whole sugya about where we learn the chiyuv of bracha rishona from. It has all sorts of different suggestions of how we know bracha rishona on a daraisa level, and the Gemara rejects all the different suggestions. And the Gemara in bracha says that's a svara that it's also leanos mel mazeb lo bracha, that one is not allowed to get hanah from this world without a bracha. Hanah would be even less than a kibetza. A person is not allowed to get any hanah from this world without a bracha. So obviously he said a bracha rishona. The whole question was about the bracha achrona. Now Tosfos points out when Rashi says that natal b'mapa, the reason he wrapped his hands in a cloth was mishum nikius. Tosfos says bechinam pirush came, that Rashi says this unnecessarily because Rabbi Tzaddik, after all, was a kohen, so he had to make sure that he was ochel al taras truma, that all of his food was absolutely tahar. Yadayim are considered shnios. Yadayim are considered a sheni lutuma. That's a din midrabanan on a daraisa level. Yadayim are not any more tame than the rest of one's body, but there's a din midrabanan that your yadayim are considered to be a sheni lutuma, and a sheni lutuma kapasul truma, because truma can become a shlishi. Truma can't be a regular food cannot become a shlishi, but truma can take on the status of tuma of a shlishi. So his hands would have passed the truma, and that's why he needed a mappa, not to be metame not to be metame the food with his hands. Tosfos, however, Chavzayin Amalav asked the question that then even if he had more than a kibetza, he would be able to do without netilas yadayim, because we allow ochle truma to eat al yidei mappa without netilas yadayim, even if it's more than a kibetza. But anyway, Tosfos thinks that maybe this is a tuma issue. It's not a nikius. It's not a nikius issue. Also, they said that ochle chutz l'sukkah. The Ran says that the Mishnah teaches us that even a Talmud Chacham, if he wants to be machmir al atzmo, is permitted to. That if he doesn't want to be machmir al atzmo, rather if he's even a Talmud Chacham is not required to be machmir on himself with these halachas of eating small amounts outside of the sukkah. One might have thought that this is one of those things that a Talmud Chacham has to live to a higher standard and has to make sure that everything he ingests is inside the sukkah. So says the Ran. No, you see from here that even a Talmud Chacham it does not have to be machmir al atzmo v'davar zeh. So I asked the Gemara, Maisa Listar. It's so strange. Is it normal to quote a halacha and then tell a story that's going to contradict the halacha that we just quoted? We said just before that ochel mishosin arai chutz l'sukkah. That was the Mishnah Daf Chafei. And now we're saying that a story of people who insisted on bringing chilas arai into the sukkah. So why is the Gemara quoting a story to contradict the halacha? Chisurim echzer. So we have to add in a few things. V'achi ketani. This is the way it should read. Imbala hachmir latzmo machmir v'lespe mishum yora. Between the last Mishnah and this Mishnah, we have to add one line. And that is that if a person wants to be machmir on himself, even though one is permitted to have an achilas arai outside of the sukkah, if someone wants to be machmir on himself, that's okay. It's not a violation of yuara, of religious arrogance, for a person to be machmir in this area. And then you read weiter in our Mishnah, the story now makes sense that if you want to know, you want to see an example of where it's not considered yuara, look what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did. Look what Rabbi Gamliel did when they brought them food that was considered achilas arai. Va'amru, and they said, "Helam l'sukkah, go bring it into the sukkah." So you see clearly that it's not a violation of yuara. Now they were brought very tiny amounts of food. The Rambam paskins that you're allowed to drink water to eat peros chutz l'sukkah, and someone who was machmer on himself and doesn't drink outside of the sukkah, even mayim hareza meshubach. That's a nice thing to do, because then again it's based on this Mishnah that it's not a violation of yuara. The Chida in the Birka Yosef writes in the name of the Tzedel Derech that it's a chumri yaseira. You don't have to be machmir not to drink water outside of the sukkah. And however, in Mor Be'etzvei says that the Chida writes that we should be knowing like the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch. Ideally, that even mayim there's makom lahachmir shelo l'shtosim michutz l'sukkah. So it's conflicting statements in the Chida whether this is something that people should be makbid about, but it seems that in many communities they took upon themselves this chumra of not even drinking water outside of the sukkah. So there is a machlokas haposkim why this chumra makes sense. Meaning, if the halacha is that you're allowed to drink water outside the sukkah, so why is it that this is a logical chumra to dafka drink water in the sukkah? So some say that it's a geder, it's a siyag, because if you come to drink water, you're going to come to drink other things that maybe need to be eaten in the sukkah. You'll come to have that outside of the sukkah also. And any time a person makes a geder, a siyag, l'torah, hareza meshubach, it's a wonderful thing, and it's not considered kolapater min ha-davar v'oseh u'nikra hedyot, meaning there is this conflicting concept that Chazal have, that kolapater min ha-davar v'oseh, someone who's pater from something and does it anyway, is nikra hedyot, is called an idiot. So why isn't this a hedyot if a person is makbid to dafka drink water in the sukkah? Because it's not nikra hedyot if it's mishum geder u'siyag. That's how the Bikurei Yaakov seems to say, that's how Shumach writes in Mo'adim Uzmanim, that if anything that's mishum geder u'siyag, you're not going to be called a hedyot. Others say the Gra in Shnos Eliyahu says that Shtiyas Mayim B'sukkah is a mitzvah be'etzem. It's just that the Chum weren't matriach you to do that mitzvah. You're not going to say Nikra Hedyot when there's a mitzvah involved. Kalapatim Nadar V'Oseo means that you're pater from something, and therefore if you do it, it's not even a mitzvah. So then when you're makbar on it, it's Nikra Hedyot. But doing something that itself is definitely a key mitzvah, it's just a question of were the Chum matriach you to do that mitzvah. So then we're not going to say Kalapatim Nadar V'Oseo is Nikra Hedyo. That's going to be a viable chumrah that a person could have. So the Gemara goes further now in our Mishnah. The Mishnah went on to say when they gave Rabbi Tzaddik food that was less than a kibetza, he wrapped in a cloth. The Rashi said he wrapped his hands in a cloth and he ate it outside the sukkah and he didn't bench. Ha-kibetza by sukkah. That implies that if he eats even just one kibetza, then none of these halachas would have applied. The cloth would not have been okay, and the no benching would not have been okay, and the outside of the sukkah would not have been okay. Kibetza would have changed everything. If it was the size of an egg, then all these halachas would have changed, including the sukkah. He would have had to eat it in the sukkah. So this seems to be a tiyufta on Rav Yosef and Abaye. Remember, Rav Yosef and Abaye discussed 2 beitzim, 3 beitzim, how much do you need to eat in the sukkah? But 1 kibetza, no, they said 1 kibetza is not enough to require a sukkah. So isn't this story of Rabbi Tzaddik against Rabbi Yosef and Abaye? So it says, no, Dilma pachas mi kibetza netilu bracha lo bai, ha kibetza bai netilu bracha. No, maybe the reason that we chose to tell the story about how it was pachas mi kibetza is because had it been a kibetza, the other 2 halachos would have changed. The halacha about being notel b'mapa, the halacha about not saying birch samazon, that would have changed if it were more than a kibetza. But maybe in a chinami, even if it were more than a kibetza, he still would have eaten it outside of the sukkah, unless it would have been the size of 3 or 4 beits, and then he would have eaten it in the sukkah. So the 1 kibetza itself is not necessarily the geder for the din of sukkah. Now there is a question: what about do you need netilas yadayim on food that's pachas mikabetza? Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Nun Ches Seif Beis writes Yesh Misha Omer that there are those who say Sheimenu Ochel al pachas mikabetza yitol yada velo yivarech, that if you can eat food, you can eat bread that's less than a kibetza, wash but don't make a bracha on washing. And the Beis Yosef quotes is that's the shita of the Rokech. The Bir Agra writes on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch that the makar of this suffix is in our sugya that we done if pachas mikabetza requires netila ubracha or doesn't require. So he says the suffix of the Rokech is because it could be that Rabbi Tzaddik is l'shitasa. When Rabbi Tzaddik did not wash on pachas mikabetza, maybe that's just Rabbi Tzaddik l'shitasa, because Rabbi Tzaddik holds with birchas hamazon like Rabbi Yehuda that you only bench on a kibetza. But we paskin like Rabbi Meir who holds that we say birchas hamazon even on a kezayis. So maybe if we say birchas hamazon even on a kezayis, maybe then the chiv to wash would also be on just a kezayis. So maybe this whole sugya is shalok halacha. This whole sugya is only within the shita of Rabbi Tzaddik. That's the suffix of the rokeach that makes its way into Shulchan Aruch, that maybe when a person eats less than a kibetz of lechem, that maybe they shouldn't say a bracha on the netil sidayim. Still do netil sidayim because it's a suffix. But then he says it could be even according to Rabbi Meir, your pater, because pachas mikibetza is not metame, and the rabbanon were not goes in netil sidayim on food that's not metame. So even though food itself typically is according to most rishonim could be mekabel tuma b'kolshu, but it's not able to be metame other things. So since it's machlokes rishonim whether food itself pachas mikibetza can become tame on a daraisa level or only on a derabbanon level. So maybe there's room to argue that pachas mikibetza, even if the din of birchas hamazon is b'kazayis, maybe the din of netilas yadayim would still be b'kabetza. So that's the discussion over here that makes its way all the way into Shulchan Aruch, whether when one is eating pachas mikibetza, one actually requires netilas yadayim, And Yesh Misha Omer in Shulchan Aruch says that maybe to do Netilas Yadayim without a bracha in order to play that suffix safely. Says the Mishnah, now new Mishnah, Reb Lazar Omer. There are 14 meals that a person needs to eat in the sukkah over the course of Yom Tov. You need to have one at night and one during the daytime, one at nighttime. Meaning two meals each and every day. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah of sukkahs is to have two meals in your sukkah each and every day of the Yom Tov sukkahs. The Chacham say no. Ain lo davar kitzva chutz milei Yom Tov rishon shel chag bilvad. There is no set amount of meals that you need to eat in the sukkah. There's no exact time that a person needs to be eating a meal in the sukkah. There's only one exception to that, and that is the first night of Yom Tov. The first night of Yom Tov, one must have a meal in the sukkah. But after that, whenever you're hungry, you eat a meal in the sukkah. And if you're not hungry, so you don't eat a meal, and you won't be in the sukkah. Rabbi Elazar said, in addition to that, that if someone didn't eat on the first night of sukkahs in the sukkah, he could still do tashlum, and he can make up for it on Shmini Atzeres. The Chum say, no, there's no tashlumin to make up for a missed meal in the sukkah on the first night. This is what the pasuk. It's these kinds of things that the pasuk refers to when it says that there are certain things that can't be fixed. There are certain iniquities, certain mistakes that a person makes. That once it's done, it's done. You made the mistake, and now you have to live with the consequences of the mistake. There's not always tashlumin. There's not always a makeup exam later on for something that was missed. So that's two machlokes in Rav Lazar and the Chum in our Mishnah. Number one, is there a minimum number of meals that one must eat in the sukkah? Rav Lazar says yes, two a day, every day, and the Chum say no, only on the first night. And number two, is there a makeup for a missed meal on the first night? Pnei Yeshua raises the question: Why does Rav Lazar need to say that it's 14 sudos? Let him just say achas biyam, achas b'layla. We know how many days of sukkahs there are. We could do the math ourselves. 2 times 7 is 14. Why does he have to do all the math for us? Asks the Pnei Yeshua. Furthermore, he says the math is wrong, because if you're having two meals a day in the sukkah and it's over the course of 7 days, one of those days is going to be Shabbos by definition, and Shabbos you have a chiyuv to have 3 su'udos. You can't have just 2 su'udos, so that should add up to 15 su'udos in the sukkah. Furthermore, he says, Suda Shlishis, which should count as one of the Yudalits, should be the Tashlumin for one of the Yudalit Sudos, meaning instead of Ilele Yom Tov Ha'achron Shel Chag, if you hold that there's only 14 Sudos, let the Suda Shlishis count as a Tashlumin. So the question that he asks about Tes Vav Sudos, let it be 15 Sudos, not 14, is already asked by Rishonim. The Me'iri already asked this question. The Me'iri gives a couple of Terutzim. He says, first of all, maybe the Tana is only mentioning the number of sudos that you have to eat midine sukkah, not the number of sudos that you have to eat midine Shabbos, meaning in a chinami. Maybe you do have to eat 15 meals practically in the sukkah, because your third Shabbos meal has to be in the sukkah as well. But that's not a din in sukkah. That's a din in Shabbos to have that third meal. Now, if kamina would be, if you're potter from sukkah like it's raining, that you chayav al kalpanim midin Shabbos, and furthermore, midin Shabbos, you would only need to eat a kazayas by sukkah, midine sukkah, the meals have to be bigger than a kazayas. They would need to be a kabetza or more. Another answer the Miri gives is that the third meal is not a 15th meal, meaning it's achas b'yom, achas b'layla. What other meal are you having on the night of Motzai Shabbos other than Suda Shlishis? A Malava Malka? So apparently not. He's not so concerned about Malava Malka. So he says that Suda Shlishis is your nighttime meal for that day, so it's going to end up being 14 meals anyway. It's not going to be 15 meals at the end of the day anyhow. But the Chum say, Ein l'davar kitzva, there's no set amount. You could choose what you want. So says the Gemara further now. My time is Rabbi Lazar. What's the reason for Rabbi Lazar? Where does he get this idea of 14 meals? So teshvu ke'in taduru. It's all based on the drasha, and both Rabbi Lazar and the Chum agree to this drasha. They just disagree how to apply it of teshvu ke'in taduru, that the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah should be that a person lives in the sukkah the same way he lives in his house during the year. So madira achas b'yamachs b'layla. So Rabbi Lazar learns that that means that whatever is normal to do in your house during the year, you must do in sukkah. So just like a normal person eats two meals a day in his house during the year, so he must eat two meals a day during Sukkot. Av Sukkah achas biyom achas b'layla. So to Sukkah, it's achas biyom achas b'layla. One at night, one a day, one at night. V'rabbanan, the Rabbanan will say, no, teshu can't do it. Doesn't mean what a normal person does at home, he must do in the Sukkah. What teshu can't do means treat your Sukkah the way you would treat your home. There is no must. Just like there's no must at home, there's no must in the Sukkah. Whatever you feel like doing, you do at home. Whatever you feel like doing, you do in the Sukkah. So Rabban, Kedira, it's like your house. Madira ibai achil ibai lo achil. Just like when it comes to your house, you choose to eat, you choose not to eat. It's all fine. You have the right to make that choice. Av sukkanami ibai achil ibai lo achil. So Sukkah also, a person has the right to make that choice, to choose to eat or to choose not to eat. Well, if you have the right to make the choice, and that's the mitzvah of Sukkah, then why on the first night do the Rabbanan also insist that you eat in the Sukkah on the first night? Why can't you choose not to eat in the Sukkah on the first night? So that's a separate din, says the Gemara. Am Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yotzadok, Nemer Kan Chamisha Asar, V'Nemer Chamisha Asar B'Chag HaMatzos. There's a special Gzeres Shava that the Gemara makes, that it says by the Yom Tov of Sukkah is Chamisha Asar, and it says by Pesach Chamisha Asar, so Mala Halam, Laila Rishon Chov, Mikan Ve'elach Rishos, just like by Pesach, the halacha is, that on the first night of Pesach, there's a Chiyuv to eat matzah. After that, it's only Rishos, a person has the right to choose to eat matzah or not to eat matzah. Afkan Laila Rishon Chov, Mikan Ve'elach Rishos. The same is true by Sukkah. The first night of Sukkah, there's an absolute Chiyuv, one does not have a choice. After that, it's Rishos, a person wants to eat in Sukkah, it's fine. A person doesn't want to eat at all, so that's fine as well. So, V'hasa Minalan, how do I know by Chag HaMatzos that the first night is different than all the rest of the days? Because Amar Krab Be'erev Tochlu Matzos Hakas of Kavuchov, that it says Dafka that evening on the first night of Pesach one must eat matzah. So that's what we derive from Chag HaMatzos. So a couple of things over here. First of all, the Chacham said that just like in your house, Ibai Yachil Ibai Lo Achil, same is true by Sukkah. So says Tosos, really? In your house on Yontif you could choose not to eat? You could choose not to have a meal on Yontif? Says Tosos, Ibai Yachil Ibai Lo Achil Klal, Di Yachil Chayiv Lachil B'Sukkah. If you do eat, you're going to have to eat in the Sukkah, K'damrin Le'el. Umashma Hachad to be Yontif Lo Havi Chova, Vi Ibai Lo Achil. It would turn out that you don't have to have meals on Yontif, except for the first night of Yontif. So not only does it come out of Nafkamina Ladina whether you have to actually eat, but everyone eats. Of course, everyone's going to have meals on Yontif. But it comes out of big Nafkamina Ladina if you forget Yalav Yavo in benching on Yontif. If you hold that there's nothing that required you to wash for a meal on Yontif, then when you forget Yalav Yavo, the halacha is in Yonad Yom, today's Rosh Chodesh. Halacha is, let's say a person washes on Rosh Chodesh and has a meal with bread, and then in benching he forgets Yalav Yavo. Well, he did, since there was no chiyuv to wash in the first place on Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to repeat benching if you forget Yalav Yavo. But when there's a chiyuv to wash, so and you forget Yalav Yavo, then you do have to repeat benching. So it would turn out that according to this Gemara, according to the Chachamim, there's no reason that you have to wash on Yontif. It's totally optional. So if you forget Yalav Yavo in benching, you don't have to repeat benching because it was totally optional. I fractosis. It's against an afna Gemara. The Gemara in Brachos Taf Memtes Shabbosos v'yomim tovim de lo sagid lo achilim to chozer. The Gemara says explicitly that on Shabbos and Yontif, where you must eat, if you forget to essay ritzay in benching on Shabbos v'yal v'yavo in benching on Yontif, you need to repeat benching. It's a beferish Gemara. So it says lo mituk me'el b'leil yom tov rishon shel Pesach b'leil yom tov rishon shel Chag. Unbelievable. Tosfos makes a giant ukimta that Gemara is only talking about the first night of Sukkot and the first night of Pesach, because that's the only time you must eat. Any other meal throughout the course of Yontif, says Tosfos, if you forget Yalav Yavo, you don't have to repeat benching because there's nothing compelling you to eat in the first place. I vadashkan perk beit debetsa perk el dvarm bepsachim gabi yomtov chalkeu chetzi lashem vechetzi lachem. But doesn't the Gemara have a whole sugya about? And we have a stira between two psukim. One pasuk says that Yom Tov is supposed to be lachem, it's supposed to be a day for your own enjoyment. The other pasuk says Yom Tov is supposed to be lashem, it's supposed to be a day where you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, machlokes tanaim, but the Gemara comes to the conclusion that what a person should do is chalkehu, divide the day in half, Chatzila Hashem, Chatzila Chem. So doesn't that imply that you need to? So what does that mean? Chatzila Chem, Chatzila Chila, veChatzila Beis Hamedrash. To Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua says that means half the day you have to eat. So how could you say that you don't have to eat? Says Tosos, yeah, you have to eat, but who says it has to be a seuda with bread? Efshar bebisru piri de in ben birch samazon v'lo bayaskars yom tov. That it could be that all those meals that you have to have in yom tov, the din of simchas yom tov, that a person has to be mesamech in yom tov by eating certain things. Maybe that's only basar peros, other things that you don't have to wash for. Maybe the din of washing for a meal is not la halacha when it comes to yom tov, other than the first night of Sukkot and the first night of Pesach. That is how Tosas deals with it over here. Tosas and Brachas in Daf Memtes has a different tarot. He says when the Gemara says yibay yachal yibay lo achal, it means you don't have to eat midine sukkah, but midine yom tov you certainly have to eat. You absolutely have a chiyuv of suudas yom tov. So Tosas says the main nafkamina whether you have to eat midin yom tov or midin sukkah, either way you're going to have to eat. Since you have to eat midin yom tov, sal karchach, you're going to be eating in the sukkah anyway. If you have to eat if midine yom tov, we require you to wash, so you can end up in the sukkah anyway. So Tosas says miu omer Rabbeinu Yehuda de nafkamina. Let's say it was raining and you ate outside of the sukkah. According to Rabbi Lazar, that you have to eat all your meals, and there's a din of eating 14 sudos in the sukkah. So every day is like the first night. Meaning, if it's raining, you got to go back in the sukkah afterwards. But if it's only a din that we eat a suda midina yom tov and not midina sukkah, like Tosfos Maseches Brachos says, and by the way, that's how we paskin, like Tosfos and Brachos, that we hold that you do need to have a suuda on yom tov. You do need to wash on yom tov, and therefore, if you forget yalav yavo on yom tov, you do have to repeat benching. So if it's only midina yom tov and it was raining and you ate inside, so then you would not have to go into the sukkah afterwards to make up for it. So that's in terms of the Rabbanan's idea of yibay yachil, yibay lo achil, that the Rishonim struggle with. The other issue over here, so we said gzereshavetezvav from Chagamatzos, the Rishonim asked that the Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, that you're chayiv only in the first night of Sukkot and Pesach. Why is it, the Rishonim asked, Balamar asked this question, why is it that on sukkah we make a bracha each and every time we go into the sukkah and have a meal, whereas on Pesach we eat matzah all 7 days also, but we only make a bracha of al achilas matzah on the first night? Meaning, if it's mamish parallel, we're learning from Chag HaMatzos to Chag HaSukkos, the mitzvos are the same. That the first night there's a chiyuv. After that, if you want to eat, you got to eat matzah on Pesach. If you want to eat, you got to eat in the sukkah on Sukkot. So it would seem that it should be parallel in terms of the bracha as well. So the Baal Ma'ar is mitaritz that on Pesach, all the other days of Yom Tov, there's no chiyuv to eat matzah. If a person wants, he can eat other things. Whereas by Sukkah, there's no way you're going to be able to avoid. The timing of your meals, true, in a chinami, you could time it whenever you want. Choose when you want to eat in the Sukkah, when you don't want to eat at all. But there's no way a person's going to be able to avoid the Sukkah the rest of Yom Tov. Because even a Shinas Arayi, not even allowed to take a nap outside of the Sukkah, there's no way a person could stay awake for 7 days straight. So theoretically, one could avoid matzah for the rest of Pesach after the first night by eating other foods. You could subsist on other foods without eating matzah for a week, without eating bread for a week, and you'll survive. But no one's going to survive not sleeping in the sukkah throughout the week. So since you're going to have to use the sukkah throughout the rest of the week, al korchach, so therefore you're going to have to make a bracha each time that you go and have a meal in the sukkah. But by matzah, there's nothing forcing you to have that matzah. It's more optional about having the matzah. We mentioned yesterday, this din of the gezer shavet tezvav, is a machlokas rishonim, how far to take that equation with Chag HaMatzos. Do we say that once we learn Gzeir Shavet Hasvav Tasvav, so the first night of Sukkot has all of the same gedarim of the chiyuv of the first night of Pesach, and therefore the mitzvah is b'kezayis, just like on the first night of Pesach, the mitzvah is b'kezayis, and there would be no p'tur of mitzta'er. If someone was mitzta'er, they would not be p'tur, because the first night of Pesach, there's no p'tur of mitzta'er. Or do we say, no, we learn the idea that you need to be in a sukkah on the first night from the fact that you need to eat matzah on the first night, but once we learn that idea, it goes by the normal gedarim gedarim of sukkah. So the normal gedarim of sukkah is that pachas mika beitza doesn't require a sukkah. So the shear that you would have to eat in the sukkah would have to be more than a kazayis. So it would have to be a kibetza at least. And but the normal dinam of sukkah is that there's a patur of mitztayer, and this is very critical when it comes to rain on the first night of sukkahs. Why is it that normally when we eat in the sukkah we're makbid to try to eat a kibetza, but when it rains on the first night of sukkahs we only eat a kazayis? Because miman of shuch, if you hold that you learn from Chag HaMatzos that we should follow the normal rules of sukkah, that we shouldn't follow the rules of matzah, it's just telling us the first night you don't have an option. Well, normal rules of sukkah is that if it's raining you're putter. So if you were to follow that shita, you wouldn't need to eat in the sukkah even if it's raining on the first night. Why are we eating in the sukkah even if it's raining on the first night? Because we're concerned for the shita that when we're learning from Chag HaMatzos we have to follow the rules of matzah, and there is no patur mitzta'er when it comes to matzah. So that's why we would have to be in the sukkah. Well, if you're following the rules of matzah, then a kazayis would be enough. That's why when it rains on the first night of sukkahs, we only need to eat a kazayis in the sukkah and no more. Okay, says we're further now. Va'odam Rav Lazar. Rav Lazar also says that if a person didn't eat Leil Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag in the sukkah, he could be mashal Leil Yom Tov Achron. V'am Rav Lazar Abbas Yisudas Chayav Adam Lechol B'sukkah Ax B'yom Ax B'layla. But wait a second, then he's not going to really have 14 meals. Didn't Rav Lazar say you have to have 14 meals? So if on the last day he didn't sit in the sukkah, meaning on Shmini Atzeres, did not sit in the sukkah, that would be Baltosif. So when he's making up this meal, it's not in the sukkah. So where's his 14 meals in the sukkah? Amar Bira Amar Rabbi Ami Chazar Bar Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar changed his mind. That was later moded to the Chachamim that ain't the davar kitzvah, that there is no set amount of meals that a person needs to eat in the sukkah. Okay, so mashlim b'may. What do you do the tashlumin with on Shmini Atzeres? Ilem b'rifta sudud yomei kachel. If it's just that you eat bread on Shmini Atzeres, well, probably you're eating bread anyway in Shmini Atzeres. How is that indicative of doing any sort of tashlumin? So what are you doing special to make up for the missed meal? Elamai yashlim, yashlim b'minei targima. No, tashlumin means to have minei targima. Rashi says this means like peros and the like, things like that. Tosos is not convinced at all. Tosos thinks that's against the Gemara and Mesechas Yuma to say that peros qualifies as minei targima. So Tosos says that it must be referring to things that are malafes bosapas, basar, vidagim, are the other things that you would have together with bread, to have other types of delicacies. Tosas then points out, wait a second, if you're allowed to count mine targima as a makeup for your su'uda, does that mean mine targima count as a su'uda when you have a chiv of su'uda, like for example, when you have a chiv of having three meals on Shabbos? So maybe mine targima could count as your third meal on Shabbos? So Tosas says, no! The ain nilbon mikan, shi'uli mine targima lahashem shol su'uda shol Shabbos. Do not derive from here that mine targima will work for a third meal on Shabbos. Deshaini hasam di alfina midusiv tlasa ayom gabe man shubim makom pas. Because the din of three meals on Shabbos is derived from the parshas haman, and the man is in place of bread. So it's got to be bread for the three meals on Shabbos. As we know, that is machlokas rishonim. All the different shitos are quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and there are deos that mine targima would work for a suda shlishis. It's a discussion in the achronim, why doesn't it work for suda shenis? Meaning, ein achinami, you have to have lecha mishnah a couple of times over Shabbos. Maybe you could do lecha mishnah Friday night in Shalosh Shudas. Why not? And have mine targima suda for the second Shabbos meal. So that's a discussion in the achronim, why we typically don't assume that that's okay. Okay, Tanya Namiyachi. Im Hishlam Mimine Tagima Yotze. In fact, the Brisa says if you're Mashlam Mimine Tagima, good, you're Yotze with that. Shalom, Apotropos of Agrippus HaMelech Esrav Lazar. The Apotropos of Agrippus HaMelech Esrav Lazar, two questions. The first one he asks as follows. Kigon Ani, Sheini Ragi Lechel, El Suda Achas Beyom, Mao Shochel Suda Achas Ve'efter. He says, you say that you have to have two meals in the Sukkah. He says, in general, I always eat one meal a day. That's just my daily, that's my diet. That's what I eat. I eat one meal a day. So, since your whole idea of two meals in the sukkah is based on teshvu kein taduru, that whatever you do in the house, you have to do in the sukkah. Well, what I do in the house is one meal a day. So could I get away with that in the sukkah? He says, I'm sure you don't eat just one meal a day. You probably snack a lot also. So you do that, l'kavod atzmecha. You do that for yourself. So you can't have one extra piece of bread for the ribono shlolam. Two meals a day. So that the teshvu kein taduru is not what you do in your house, you chayv do in the sukkah. It's what normal people do in their house. They everybody is chayv to do in the sukkah, and therefore you have to have two meals a day. Va'od shalom, he also asked him, kugon ani sheyesh li shtei nashim, achas b'tveri v'achas b'tzipori. He says, I happen to have two wives, one who lives in Tveri, one who lives in Tzipori. V'yesh li shtei Shei Sukkos, Achas Bitzvaria, Vachas Bitzipori. I have this very complicated life, and I have two Sukkos, one in Tveria and one in Sipori. So Mao Sheitze Misukkah the Sukkah of Avter. Can I sit in two different Sukkos over the course of Yantiv? Spend one day with this wife, one day with that wife, and that Sukkah. So Amar Lo, Lo Shani Yomer, Kol Yotzei Misukkah the Sukkah, Batal Mitzvasa Shel Rishona. Says, no, you can't, because I say, my Shita is that you need to be in the same Sukkah throughout the course of the entire Yantiv. This Shita's Rabbi Lazar is that you're never allowed to go out for a meal in Sukkahs. They have to be in the same Sukkah throughout all of the Yantiv. Tanya Rabbi Lazar Omer, Ein Yotzei Misukkah the Sukkah. You hear Rabbi Lazar says it explicitly in the Brisa. One is not allowed to go out from one Sukkah to another Sukkah. Veinos in Sukkah, B'chol HaShemoed. And a person is not allowed to build a Sukkah on Chol HaMoed, because if you're building Sukkah on Chol HaMoed, so you're not sitting in the same Sukkah for all 7 days. V'chamor miyotzim yisukkah l'sukkah. The Chum say you can go from one Sukkah to another Sukkah. V'osin Sukkah b'chol HaShemoed. And you're allowed to build a Sukkah on Chol HaMoed. V'shavim shim nafla shechoz rabona b'chol HaShemoed. But everybody agrees that if you had a Sukkah and it fell down, for sure you're allowed to rebuild a Sukkah on Chol HaMoed. My time is Rabbi Lazar. Where does Rabbi Lazar get this idea that you need to be in the same Sukkah for all 7 days? Amakra chag asukos tas lecha shivas yamim. Asay sukkah haru'i l'shivah. He darshens from the pasuk that since it says you should make a sukkah shivas yamim, you have to make the same sukkah for all 7 days. Rabbanon hachi kamarachman. The Rabbanon will say no. What it means is asay sukkah bechag. You have to make a you can make a sukkah on yantif itself. V'shavim shem nafla shechaz rabbanos bechol shalmoed pshita. So isn't it obvious that if it fell that you're allowed to rebuild it on chol hamoed? It is the same sukkah. It's a sukkah shiva. What's the problem with it? Why would you think that it's at all problematic to do that? So says Marana Mal Detema Hayachriti he veinul shiva. I might have thought that when a sukkah falls down and you rebuild it, it's not considered the same sukkah. It's now a brand new sukkah. The old sukkah fell. This is a new one, and therefore it's not a sukkah l'shiva. Kamash Mlan, therefore comes to teach us it is the sukkah. The discussion in the Rishonim, how much the same does it have to be? I mean, you rebuild it to the same building materials? Presumably yes. Do the same building materials need to be in the same place? Do you need to have the thing, the exact same schach being schach, and use what was schach now as walls, and what was walls now as schach? Are you allowed to shift things around? What if you change the dimensions of it? Meaning, when would we say it's taka a new sukkah? So that's a detailed debate in the Rishonim on this Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Lazar, k'shem she'en adam yotzei idei chavas b'yom tov rishon shel chag bilulavo shel chaveiro. Rabbi Lazar says, just like on the first day of Yontif, one cannot be yotzei with someone else's lulav. T'chsiv ulkachtem lachem b'yom rishon priyei tzadik kabas tamarim. Misha lachem, we dash, and it has to be yours. So too, a person cannot be yotzei with somebody else's sukkah. D'chsiv, chak ha-sukkos tasa l'cha shivas yamim, we darshan mishalcha, it must be yours. V'cham marmen l'cham say, af b'sha amru ein adem yotzei d'chavas b'yom tov rishon v'lulava shal chavero, aval yotzei d'chavas b'sukkos shal chavero. That even though you're right, the dalin minim on the first day have to belong to you, your sukkah does not have to belong to you. D'chsiv, kol ha-ezrach b'yisrael yeshu b'sukkos. Pasuk says, all of the citizens of the Jewish people can sit in sukkos, melamed, and that teaches us shekol Yisrael ruim leishem b'sukkah achas, that everyone is able to sit in a single sukkah. Now, obviously, it doesn't belong to everybody, so for somebody, it's not theirs, and therefore, there's still yotzei the mitzvah. How's it so obvious that it doesn't belong to everybody? Maybe all of Klal Yisrael is kona shutfus. We do it with Erevin. We're kona shutfus in a box of matzahs. So why can't we say all of Klal Yisrael, for a whole community, so why can't we say all of Klal Yisrael is kona shutfus in the sukkah? So this is an unbelievable Rashi. Rashi says, based on the pasuk that it says that everyone has to be yosei b'sukkah achas, b'zeh achar zeh, and it can't be that everyone's going to own it, because it's not going to be a shava pruta l'kol echad ve'echad. Not everybody's going to have a shava pruta in the sukkah. So it has to be that somebody is borrowing the sukkah from somebody else, that members of Klal Yisrael are borrowing. So the achronim go wild over that line in Rashi. So what? It's not a shava pruta. There's a din that has to be a shava pruta. Minchas Chinuch says, so by dalin minim, where there's a requirement of lechem, each of your dalin minim must be a shavu pruta, then no one has ever yet seen the mitzvah of aravos. Aravos are not a shavu pruta; they're worth very, very little. Nowadays, I think we end up paying a shavu pruta when you buy aravos, for the hoshanas or whatever. But they're not really; they're often not worth a shavu pruta. So you're not yotzei with dalad minim. Rav Shechter points out in Ginas Egos that the kasha l'chora could be answered very simply, that by dalad minim, the dalad minim as a whole are worth a shavu pruta. All dalad minim are ma'akiv zeh zeh, so you don't view it by each min in its own right. You view the dalet minim as a whole, but still the idea that Rashi seems to be saying that if it's worth less than a shavuot, then it's not lechem, then there's no ownership of it. So that's also very questionable. What do you mean there's no ownership? There's no issur to steal pachas mishavapruta. I think God once brought a mabul because people were stealing pachas mishavapruta. So there is an issur to steal pachas mishavapruta. There's ownership of things that are less than a shavapruta. Very, very challenging Rashi. Okay, v'rabbanan ha'ilcham ma'idarshi. What did Rabbanan do with the pasuk l'cha? If they say that the sukkah does not have to be yours, so mibayle lemute gezula, they use that to tell me that if it's a stolen sukkah, it's no good. Aval shu'ula, but a borrowed sukkah, ksiv, kol ezrach, that's what the pasuk, kol ezrach tells me that it's allowed to be a borrowed sukkah. For Reb Elazar, hi kol ezrach my avodai, what does Reb Elazar do with kol ezrach? Mibayle le gershin iskari bin a time, mekatan shin iskad bin a time. He uses kol ezrach to tell me that someone who's a megayer on chol hamoed or becomes a gadol on chol hamoed, becomes a bar mitzvah on chol hamoed, could be yotzei in such a sukkah. For Rabbanan, kivin sham and the Rabbanan don't need a pasuk to tell me that if a child becomes bar mitzvah in cholamoi that he could use a sukkah, that he could build a sukkah, because the Rabbanan hold even a gadol is allowed to build a sukkah on cholamoi. Anyone's allowed to build a sukkah on cholamoi. There's only Reb Elazar who holds that a gadol is not allowed to build a sukkah on cholamoi. We need a pasuk to tell me that a katan sheniskadel, a ger sheniskayer, can make a sukkah on cholamoi. Tan Rabbanan, Ma'aser Reb Elazar shalach lachlo pnei Reb Elazar rabo belud beregel. Reb Elazar went to visit Reb Elazar in Lud on Yantif. So Reb Elazar criticized him. He says, you're not treating Yantif properly. Don't you know that Simchas Yantif requires that you be home with your family? But wait a second, what do you mean be home with your family? Isn't there a chiv to visit your Rebbe on Yantif? That we learn from the Pasuk, Malachim Beis, that if it's not Chodesh and not Shabbos, why would you be going to visit the Navi? Implying that if it were Chodesh and Shabbos, you'd be going to visit the Navi. So it makes sense to go visit the Rebbe on Yontif. So don't you see there's a Chiyuv to visit the Rebbe on Yontif? Says Marlo Kasha, Hada Azul Vasi B'Yomei, Hada Azul Vasi B'Yomei. It depends how quickly you can make it back. If you can go visit the Rebbe and still make it back on the same day, then you should go visit the Rebbe on Yontif. If you can't make it back on the same day, then you can't visit the Rebbe on, then you shouldn't visit the Rebbe on Yontif. A person should stay in his own sukkah with his family. The Achronim all asked the question, wait a second, what's the limit over here? The Chayv Mivakar Pnei Rabbi Beregel from Pasuk says, Lo Chodesh V'lo Shabbos. Why are you going to visit the Rebbe? It's not Rosh Chodesh and it's not Shabbos. What do you mean Rosh Chodesh? First of all, Daf Yomi coincidence, it is Rosh Chodesh today. But what do you mean? How does that teach you anything about Yantif? So the Aruch Lener raises this question, why don't we learn that there's a Chiyah from this Pasuk to visit every Rosh Chodesh and every Shabbos? So he says, based on the Ritva, that Shabbos and Chodesh, you have to be makbel pnei rabo only betoch ha-tchum, and chol hamoed even outside of the tchum. So the Ritva is trying to be miyashiv this kasha by saying that maybe in a chinami, if you have a rebbe who lives within your tchum, you should go visit him every Rosh Chodesh and every Shabbos. But outside of the tchum, only on Yantif. Others suggest that it's based on the concept that you're not allowed to give more kavod to your rebbe than you give to the shechina, and we only have a chiv to be mevaker pnei Hashem Gimel Pam Bashana at the Shalosh Regalim. So therefore, we're not going to have show more cover to the Rebbe. We're going to visit the Rebbe more often than we go to the Fnei Hashem to be able to regal. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up at Tanur Rabbanan, falling a little bit behind. We'll pick up at Tanur Rabbanan tomorrow, Bez Hashem.